Welcome to One Hit Wonderful, the podcast where we cover all of those amazing reality shows that only had one season. I'm your host, Frank Pezzanite III.
And I'm Meredith Bradbeck.
And join us today as we cover the season, and I'm assuming series finale, of Secrets and Sisterhood, episode 10, Family Over Everything.
Yeah, sure. I mean, they say that a bunch of times at the end, so I guess that tracks.
They sure do.
Yeah.
And we have a ton of house cleaning, actually. We have a teeny tiny bit that we're going to go over at the beginning, which is the new show we're going to be covering next. And then stay tuned after we recap the episode. It's a very short episode. We're not going to have much to say about it. It's going to be a quick recap. We did some deep, deep diving onto Reddit and found out a lot about these ladies that is 10,000 times more interesting to the show. There are lawsuits. There are deaths. There are name changes. Like, we have it all for you. So stay tuned after we're done with the recap, and we will get into all of it. And I would also like to say really quickly, I've talked to a couple people who did not realize that I have been posting pictures from every episode on the Instagram. And I know that I'm sure the majority of you are not actually watching this show. So if you want to see the people we're talking about and the hairstyles we're talking about and anything we reference, I have been putting pictures to correspond with every episode we've done on our Instagram, which is just One Hit Pod.
Yes.
At One Hit Pod on Insta. So a couple people told me they had no idea it was happening. So I'm going to reiterate that again. Please, if you want to see the pictures, check out our Instagram.
Yes. And we should also say that our Reddit deep dive also included original faces with photographic evidence.
I will be posting that. I will be posting all kinds of documents. Like, I will be posting a lot on the Instagram. So.
Scandal.
Yes. It may be multiple Instagram posts, since Instagram will only let you post 10 pictures per post. So.
Or people could just go onto Reddit and find that salacious stuff themselves.
Oh, that's true. But it's not as fun.
It's not. But then we could still stay on their good graces if there is a season two, I guess.
True.
Yeah. All right. Episode 10.
No. We're going to tell everyone what we're going to cover.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So since I feel like you made the big decision, we just talked about it, but you were most excited. I'm excited too. So let everyone know what we are going to be covering next.
So we are going to return to the land of Bravo and the early aughts. We're turning back the clock, and we are going to Princesses of Long Island.
I'm very excited.
I am too, because I watched it and loved it and have never watched it again.
I think I watched it. I can't totally remember. I probably did, but I'm excited to see again. And unfortunately, there's nowhere to stream it for free, but we're just going to buy it on Amazon. And those of you who watched it before, I'm sure you'll get a kick out of this anyway.
I just remember that I feel like every cast member sounded like Bethany Frankel's impression of Jill Zarin on Scary Island. Like that, hi. Yeah,
totally. Yes. Mm-hmm. Also, another little flashback to shows past. On Watch What Happens Live, I can't remember who the guest was, but they were doing Sophie's Choice of past Bravo shows. And the choice was, would you rather see NYC Prep or Gallery Girls come back? And I wish I could remember who the guest was, because they were like, oh my gosh, this is the toughest choice ever. And they ended up going with NYC Prep.
Oh, interesting. I feel like I would go the other way.
Yeah, they went NYC Prep.
I think I would go Gallery Girls.
Yeah.
Because I really like the like Upper East Side versus Brooklyn vibe. And I think that would still track.
I think this person, I really wish I could remember who it was. I'm sure someone listening to this who is a Bravo devotee can remember better than I can. I feel like when they said they wanted to see NYC Prep back, they meant the current cast.
Okay.
Because they were talking about the cast members. And so like, I feel like they would want to see, like, a Where Are They Now show. Like new kids.
I would still stick to Gallery Girls personally, but I would watch either one.
Yeah, I would as well too. But it gave me the smiles. And who did I send you a picture of who made the Oscars red carpet footage from the Daily Mail?
Oh, yes. Lisa Love.
Lisa Love. Yes, our beautiful Lisa Love.
And actually, speaking of former stars that we have discussed on the show and Bravo, I don't feel like, did we give enough due to the fact that Andrew Muckamel was Margot Robbie's stylist for the Barbie press tour?
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Oh my God. No, we did not.
And he and Margot Robbie are publishing a book together of all of the iconic outfits.
Way to go, Andrew.
Yeah, he was her stylist for the Barbie press tour. And I think we can all agree he did not miss a single beat. There was not an accessory or shoe or even piece of hair out of place on Margot on that press tour. And
did
it was
he dress
Andrew.
Her for the Oscars too?
He's her stylist, yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
And Zoe Kravitz's as well. He has really, really come up and he's having a huge moment because of Barbie. So
I wonder if he and Kelly are still friends.
I do see when you look at, I think, his Instagram, you can see that like Stephanie Skinner and stuff like will leave comments. So like, I think they're still sort of in the same universe, at least distantly. So yeah, I think they're still supportive of one another for sure.
Because I could see Kelly like taking credit for his success. Like Maybe. Discovering him, which I guess she kind of did. She did. So yeah. That's good on her. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, as stylists go, especially Andrew, who I feel like we had a fondness for at the time.
Oh, yeah.
But, like a gay man who gets to dress Barbie. That's a dream gig right there. Like that's everything. That would be a dream gig for me.
Interesting, though, because it seems like it wouldn't be a dream. I mean, because it's Margot Robbie, yes. But like Andrew is like a goth kid.
Yes, but
so
still,
I don't think
like,
of him with like the Barbie aesthetic.
I know.
It's just funny to me.
I know, but still, it's so cool.
I'm here for it.
And there have been a couple like press shots of this book that's coming out and it looks really cool.
Oh, cool. We'll have to get it.
Maybe that was the news I meant to drop a couple episodes ago.
Oh, well, anyway. I'm excited about it. I'm glad you dropped it now.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about these ladies.
Okay. So I think we've made it pretty clear so far. Not a lot happens in this episode. And I will go ahead and say that our episode 9 prediction of what episode 10 would be was, as Marissa Tomei and My Cousin Vinny says, it's down balls accurate.
Yes.
We could not have predicted this any more accurately. So the episode begins exactly where we left off with the ladies fighting about the vitamin serum and the charity event and Sadiqa and Jamila versus everybody. And everyone's horrified that this is happening in front of mom. And that's the theme of the episode too. Family over everything and not in front of mom. So that's pretty much where we're at. And basically the mother summons Jamila and Sadiqa to come downstairs and like forces them to pull themselves back together. And they apologize to her eventually and kiss her hand, but the mother will not acquiesce and say that Rabia was also out of line. She's actually more upset with Jamila and Sadiqa.
Yes.
And I stand by my theory that the mother hates the wolf pack. I'm standing by it.
I don't know if she hates them, but I think she definitely has more in common with the elders. Like I think she loves the wolf pack but does not understand them.
No.
And has nothing in common with them.
And she's frustrated by them, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so there's just this whole hemming and hawing about who was wrong and who wants to apologize, and you know, it's just kind of awkward the way that they actually do kiss her hand and apologize, and it's like you know, I'm sure that's cultural, but it was just kind of awkward. And then Jamila's crying and she says, I work so hard. I work this way for you. And it's just like, And that's my takeaway, is that they end up apologizing to the mother. The mother still sort of thinks they were the most out of line. And then they leave Shakur's house and say the show is tearing the family apart. That's all I got.
Nothing to add.
Nope.
That's it.
So then we go to Shaista's restaurant, and I'm going to go ahead and double down on my theory about the mother and the wolf pack in this case. So Rabia and Khadija are visiting Shaisa's restaurant and asking her like how it's going. And they fill her in on the drama that happened at Shakur's house. And Shaisa thought it was crazy. And she said it was so condescending and so rude. They belittled Rabia's product and all of her efforts that's gone into it. And they've really lost sight of the fact that this event is about a good cause and it's bigger than them. And then they sort of come out and say, no wonder mom wants to go to Pakistan.
Well, no, they 100% say, I mean, word for word, that's what Shaisa says.
And they say, like, our mom is so sick of the drama, she prays to go back. And what I found was interesting in this episode, which was not much, but I can see the rift between the elders and the wolf pack more when they're talking about how they came to this country and what they went through to get to this country. And there is a huge cultural difference between the older siblings and the younger siblings in this family. Like, yes, they are all sisters, but it's almost like they're two families under one roof because of this experience that they had with their mother.
Yeah.
So they are basically saying that, like, yes, our sisters are doing this event, but they will never comprehend what we went through to leave Afghanistan with nothing but the clothes on our back. And they will never understand the sacrifice that we made for things that they grew up taking for granted. Not their fault, but, like, they will just never understand.
I think another part of it may be, too, that I feel like in any family, the more kids that come along, the less strict the parents become. And the fact that the dad also died in 1999 when some of the younger kids were on the younger side, I think they probably weren't disciplined as, you know, I mean, I feel there was all these strict rules for the older girls. And I feel like by the time the younger kids came along and the mom was a single parent, she was probably like, fuck it. Like, I don't have the time to, like, instill all these strict, you know, rules onto these girls. So I think that's probably also part of it.
Yeah. But also, like, when she's talking about how they crossed the desert with their mother with, like, so few possessions. And then I'm looking at, like, Hamida and Noor coming home probably from junior high crying about how they want a nose job. It's like, yeah, those are two very, very different worlds.
But do a little, according to, like, my online research, I think it was just the oldest two.
Right. Well, I'm talking about Shaisa because she's the one who said that.
100%. But I don't think that Rabia
and Khadija
and were a part of that. Like, I think that they were already in Pakistan, like,
right.
Or like babies, you know, I don't think that they were cognizant of what was going on.
The takeaway I mean is just that the spectrum of what these siblings have been through is so wide.
Yes, I totally agree.
Yeah. And to hear her detail it and, like, why they sort of see Shaisa so close to the mother and almost like a second mother, I was like, oh, I get it more now.
Yeah.
Like, because she and the mother are OGs. Like, they've been through some shit.
So. Although, sadly, I still think I am older than all of them.
Really?
Yeah.
Even Shaisa?
Halima was born in 1976. I don't know the difference between her and Shaisa, but Shaisa and I are either the same age or I am older than her.
You look fab.
Thanks.
She's a pretty lady, but she looks older than that.
Yeah.
In my opinion. But then we go, and they just sort of say they don't want to go to the event, but they're going to pray on it. So make of that what you will. And then we go to the wolf pad and Sid and Jamila are like pretending to iron out final details on this event.
This was such a bolt. They're like talking about invoices that need to be paid. I'm like, it's the day before. Like, these were paid.
Oh,
your
my God.
Budget is set.
But the DJ needs a new deck, Frank. And it's going to be $5,000. What DJ doesn't have their own deck?
Stupid. It's dumb.
Oh my God. Did you get that lighting that they wanted? Oh no, I didn't. You better overnight that. Like, it's just such a crock.
I paid attention to none of this because no one needed to.
You're better
to.
For it.
But what did you notice the weird metal pyramid on the bed?
Maybe.
I took multiple pictures of it. I'll try to send you one right now quickly while I'm talking about it. So I cannot for the life of me figure out what its purpose is, but it's sitting on the bed. It is just a metal pyramid. And I would love to know, I mean, it's obviously not decoration or art, because why would you put it on your bed? I send it to you. Let me know when it comes through. Okay. I'm very confused as to its purpose.
Interesting. No, I was actually staring at Jamila's like gold chain necklace, and I was really into it.
It's like they have. Did it come through?
Yeah.
What is that?
I don't know.
What would be its purpose?
I don't know.
I mean, I could see it as like a knickknack sitting on a shelf or something, but why would it be at the foot of the bed?
It almost looks like it's one of those little cat teepees, but they took the fabric off. That's so weird.
It's right. It's very weird. So I spent the whole entire time being distracted by it and trying to freeze frame the TV at the exact right moment to get a picture of it.
I mean,
because they
you.
Did not show it for long. Like it kept coming in and out of frame very quickly.
Weird.
I wasted probably 5 minutes getting that picture.
Good for you. It's weird.
It's very weird.
But then, so their conversation is silly. And then Hamida and Noor walk in and they talk about how they met a guy at the club that they asked to donate, but they say they gave him a dance. And then there's some jokes about how they made it sound like they gave him a lap dance to get him to donate to the event. But they're like, no. We just like let him salsa with us. And then they rehash the fight. And Noor and Khadija, I think, are my MVPs, which is not surprising. I feel like they have been this whole time. But they're, you know, Sadiqa and Jamila are still being defensive about this fight. And they're saying like, well, we apologize to mom. Rabia didn't, blah, blah, blah. And Noor said, that's irrelevant. It's your apology that matters. And you still need to call mom and make sure she's coming to this event. She's not wrong.
No.
But there are some flashbacks about just tensions between the elders and the wolf pack. And we got to go back to Shakur in the van in, where'd they go again? Sonoma? Napa?
Yeah.
And I forgot she said, stay your ass right there, boo-boo. I forgot that was her big. Stay your ass right there, boo-boo. Yeah. We got a nice clip of that.
So then, I also thought it was interesting that this was a very Shakur light episode. We barely saw Shakur.
Yeah, barely. And Jamila thinks that all the sisters don't understand how much work she's put into this event. And then when we get to the event, I'm going to come back to that.
Okay.
Because I was surprised to see some things, I guess. We'll leave it at
that. Okay.
All right. And then they all agree that they're going to be really sad if mom doesn't come. Shock.
Spoiler alert. Mom's coming. This is so, it's just dumb.
Yeah.
This whole hour was like, is mom going to come? Is mom not going to come? And I don't want to say that it's the fault of this show in particular, because I feel like any reality show I watch at this point where someone's threatening not to go somewhere and everyone wants them there, I know they're going to show up eventually anyway. Like that's just a trope of reality TV. So I don't want to fault this show in particular, but they did a really bad job of creating tension because there was none. Like we all knew mom and the other sisters were coming the whole time. There was no edge of my seat about this. I'm like, this is happening, whatever.
Yeah. Yep. And then we get a brief scene of, it's apparently the morning of the gala, but Noor and Hamida are already drinking wine. And they're so ready for things to go back to normal and for the gala talk to stop. There's just been so much fundraiser talk and they're just really tired of it. And then they have this brief exchange about dating apps and how these guys are reaching out to Noor and sending her digital roses.
Oh, I have a lot to say about this.
Okay, then please do.
All right. So I looked it up and I was like, what dating app? I thought maybe she was talking about Raya. And I looked it up.
No, it had an H on it, I thought.
No. So I looked it up and on Hinge, which has an H, you can send somebody a rose, but you only get one a week. And they started doing that because of Bachelor. But there is another invitation only dating app called Blush that is exclusive to LA. And in LA, people can buy roses for $3.50 because she said that he had to buy it. She specifically said he had to buy a rose. And I looked up, the interface looked the same as the first screen.
Okay.
And men, I'm assuming men, I guess women could do it as well, pay $3.50 per rose. And the recipient of the roses can turn them into digital gift cards for coffee, et cetera, like for local LA businesses.
Interesting.
Yeah. But it's only in LA. They're going to expand to other markets.
Interesting. Okay. But Noor also says that she is open to dating, but in the wake of her breakup, she wants to know herself more first before she gets into a new relationship, which is very mature and well thought out. And then they have a little conversation about devil dicks, which like,
yes, which just means they're great in bed, but they're bad otherwise.
Sure. Okay. And then Noor says that that's what vibrators are for. Like, she's doing fine on her own.
And she says that her ex was a devil pencil dick.
Yeah. Sad.
Yeah, sad.
That's it. That's all I got about that.
That does remind me of my favorite line from a movie ever, which is Outrageous Fortune with Bette Midler and Shelley Long.
Uh-huh.
When Bette Midler says to Shelley Long, does the phrase needle dick, the bug fucker, mean anything to you? It's one of my favorite movie lines of all time.
Love it.
Yeah.
We go to Shakur's house briefly, and they do a promo video before the event. Most of the sisters, I guess. And they announced that they have a goal of raising $100,000.
But it was the sisters and other people.
Yeah.
There were non-sisters.
Okay.
And
then we see them getting ready, and then we have to watch Shakur braid Josh's hair.
Which was shockingly way longer than I thought.
So,
I have a picture of it.
So long.
Yeah.
What do you call that cut with the long, like what does he have?
It's just called an undercut, yeah.
Even though he only has like a strip on top?
I mean, it's not thin enough to be a mohawk. And it doesn't go all the way down to a mohawk really needs to go down to the back of the neck.
Yeah.
It's an undercut, yeah.
And
I mean, an undercut is really anything that's shaved underneath and hair on the top. It can be shaved a little, it can be shaved a lot, but it's an undercut.
His hair is longer than mine.
Yeah, I was shocked.
It was
shocked.
It was kind of gross. It just, I don't know.
I didn't hate it. This is also where we got to see Jamila's dress, which I thought was beautiful.
With peace signs all over it.
Peace signs all over it. Yeah.
I thought some of the dresses were okay. For these ladies, I was like, we could have gone in a really like wild direction.
And when we say peace signs all over, we should clarify it's a black dress and they're metal.
It's chainmail with little peace signs.
Yeah, it's chainmail peace signs, exactly. Like over the chest and through the back. I got some pictures of it. It's very pretty.
And the woman who puts her in it says like, wow, it fits you like a glove. And it really does.
Yeah, she looks amazing.
Because it's like, it's slinky down the back and it has a single like chainmail down the center of her back. And she does look very pretty.
We will talk about once we get to the gala about dresses and who we think was best dressed, but she was in my top.
Yes, agreed. But so then I go right into the event because Sadiqa and Jamila arrive first and they're sort of checking on things.
And the name, at first I was confused because I thought it was the name of the venue, but it's that cat place that we can never find online, that gallery. But it was actually the name of their charity, I guess?
Baraka.
It's Baraka is how they were pronouncing it. But yeah, Baraka.
Yes.
I was confused at first.
The second annual.
Yeah.
So the reason that I was surprised Jamila said, like, the sisters just don't know how much work this was. I'm not surprised Jamila said that because, you know, she's arranging for the decks and the lighting and whatnot. You know, it's just so stressful. They have an event planner.
Yeah.
When they get there, they have a big conference with their event planner.
Well, what I found even more confusing was that, did you notice? I barely noticed this and I had to rewind to make sure. That when Noor arrives, she has to spell her last name for the person checking the list of entries. And I'm like, what? Like, it's your family's event. Like, and they don't know your last name?
Yeah.
It was very weird. She was spelling it. She was like, Sozada. S-O. I was like, what?
I saw that.
Yeah.
I would also like to just discuss how there is nothing Afghani about this event.
No.
At all.
No.
And I know it was an event to just benefit refugees. They don't necessarily need to be from Afghanistan. But there is a jazz singer. The art is not Middle Eastern in particular. Like, there's nothing...
In fact, it was very African-American.
Yes. Yes. And, like, there was just... Like, there was no cultural decor or sort of, like, anything that went with the family that put this event on. Not saying there had to be, but I was just surprised by it.
I was, too, especially because I feel like a lot of the other events, not that we've seen a ton of them, that we've seen them go to, all of them were Afghan. Like, they go out to, like, the hookah bar place and they hang out at that Afghani nightclub restaurant place. It was interesting to see that it didn't have, like, an Afghani theme.
Right. And I guess I sort of expected it, given the emphasis they put on this is an event about our culture. You know, like, I feel like
wonder,
they kept
though,
saying that.
I wonder almost if I really should have looked up the event to see if I could find it. Maybe it's for all refugees.
No, I think it is. But I'm still just sort of surprised they didn't put more of like a personal touch on it, I guess. But I don't know. Maybe they were trying not to, though. Maybe they didn't want to do that if it was for all refugees. But I just felt like the whole season they were laying it on so thick about how this was an event about their family and their culture and their sisters and their mother as the guest of honor. And it's like, but you have a jazz singer. Like, I'm confused.
Singer who, by the way, I should have gotten a picture of. I didn't. Who looked real bored.
Yeah. There are some people who look bored of this event. Yeah. So of course we're getting some photos in front of this very teeny step and repeat, a single panel step and repeat.
Yeah.
And so first, of course, we see some of the sisters arrive, the wolf pack mostly. And shall we discuss Shakur and Josh and their arrival?
Sure.
Okay, so I would say that Josh looks pretty good. He looks very, like, just Josh. He's wearing Gucci loafers and, like, a black jacket. Most of the sisters are wearing black or red. Yeah, they're wearing black and red, at least, of the wolf pack. And Shakur is wearing just sort of, like, black strapless, sparkly dress. And then she's got gloves on. And then I think we should discuss her hair.
You mean because she was going to prom?
My note says, what in the 2000s prom fuck is Shakur's hair?
Yeah. Did I get a picture of that? The problem is it was really hard to get. Oh, I didn't.
So
maybe I'll have
my
to go back and take a picture.
And maybe my best friend had very similar prom hairdos in 1998 and then again in 2002. So that is the style that we're dealing with. Just like huge curls just all over the head.
It's so she's got I'll go back later and take a picture of it. It was really hard to get pictures from this episode because they were constantly moving. No one was sitting still. I couldn't even when they did the group picture of the step and repeat, like, they wouldn't stay still long enough for me to get a picture. But I couldn't freeze it right. Everyone looked weird or was making weird faces. But yeah, it's like the front is all slicked down. And the back is giant barrel curls on top of her head.
Yeah.
And pearls, like pearl pins throughout. I mean, it was something you'd wear to prom. Like,
I think
ago.
My sister may have had a couple pearls in her prom do.
Yeah.
Now that I think about it.
It's very prom. It was very prom.
Yes. So, of course, I take some pictures. Does Sadiqa flirt with Josh? ?
I don't think so. You think so?
After the Wolfpack night out and sitting on his lap and sneaking him shots or whatever, when he walked up to her, she was just like, hey, brother. And like, she just has a way of talking to him that I was just kind of like, ew.
Oh, I think she genuinely likes him. And I think that she likes getting in trouble with him.
I know.
Like, I'm drinking just... and being silly. And, well, it's funny you should say that because I don't think it was her. I think it was Hamida. But someone on Reddit there was a picture of Josh with one of them. And someone was, like, going off because they felt like whatever sister that was being too familial with him in the picture as well.
Yeah. I find it a little weird, but, you know, whatever. So then, of course, we go back to this mom needs to come. Oh my God. Like, mom needs to come. And then literally another giant Escalade pulls up and they said, oh wait, that's mom.
No.
The tension dissipates.
I thought it was hysterical because first they say, is that mom? And it's Muzlifa.
Yeah.
And then another, and I'm like, all of these Escalades with the tinted windows look the same. I don't think we were trying to pretend that mom drives an Escalade. So every car that pulled up, is it mom? Is that mom? Is that? And so Muzlifa gets out 2 seconds later. Is it mom? Is it mom? Is it mom? Mom and Rabia and Shaista and Khadija all get out of the car.
And they all
and everyone's there.
They all look beautiful.
So now that everyone is there.
Yeah.
Who was your most beautiful, best dressed? You tell me yours and I'll tell you what mine is. I'm going to see if it's the same.
Ooh. So I'm trying to remember. Muzlifa was wearing like blue.
Mm-hmm.
And we should say the elders are also wearing more traditional looking garments. To
the elders and Muzlifa, who at one point calls herself an elder. So I don't know. But
yeah.
But yes.
I feel like I was partial to Khadija because I feel like she's just kind of lovely. I also thought Rabia looked lovely. Of the wolf pack, though, I would say Jamila. Because I don't quite remember what Hamida and Noor were wearing. I know they were both wearing red, but that's like, it didn't stand out to me.
So my hands down of the 10 sisters winner for best dressed and best makeup and best glow up was Rabia.
The green. Dark green. And her she had a cool thing in her stunning. Hair. Yeah.
She looked more beautiful than we've ever seen her look in this entire series. If you had asked me going in, I would have said it probably would have been Khadija. And then seeing them, Rabia, hands down, stunning.
She had a very cool headpiece on,
and I did get a picture of her. She was another one. It was so hard to get a picture of her. I don't even think I have one of the entire outfit because they didn't show her as much, but she looked stunning.
Yeah. They're all just like, all the elders wore more traditional dresses. They've got cool headpieces on. Their makeup is lovely. Their hairdos were not bananas. I would say I think the bottom of my barrel was Sadiqa.
Oh, in the red?
Well, she just, the sleeves went all the way down to gloves.
Yeah, I didn't love it.
It was fine.
I didn't hate it, but I
think she was the bottom of my list, though. Well, other than Shakur's hair.
But. Of the elders, my least favorite was Muzlifa.
The blue.
Yeah. It just wasn't as flattering on her. Like the cut, I don't know. I just didn't like it as much.
Yeah. And then Sadiqa's hair was also just a little weird for me. It was more modern. I know that's a thing, but it just looked like, I don't know, curly piles of poo. Like, I don't know.
For the wolf pack, for me, it was Jamila. It looked the best.
Yeah. Yeah. And Shakur didn't look bad. Like the dress was fine, but I don't know, tonally that hair was just weird.
It was weird. I mean, because it wouldn't fit in anywhere.
No.
I mean, part of it is that her hair is just fucking long as shit. And there's only so much you can do with that much hair.
Yeah.
In terms of putting it up, like you're sort of limited. And that's probably why she's all braids all the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it wouldn't have. What really took me out of it were the pearls.
Yeah.
If she didn't have this fucking pearl pins out, it almost could have been like old school Hollywood glamour, but the pearls pin made it prom all the way.
I also don't think she needed the gloves. I think the dress was like pretty enough on its own. She didn't need those.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Also because this gallery is very industrial looking. And I'm not saying you can't have like black tie events in industrial spaces. People do it all
and
the time.
And it was light out.
Yeah.
It was light the whole time. It was also a daytime
event. So it was just like, I didn't understand what was with the formality of gloves. And so then I think Jamila just wearing this like sexy black dress and having an updo, but not a huge one and no gloves. I was like, oh, she looks so much more appropriate.
Agreed.
Anyway. So then we actually do get a brief moment between Josh and Shakur where she says, hi, Dad, which is so creepy. But she's glad that he agreed to postpone the vow renewal. They sort of agree that the event is beautiful. There's been no bickering so far. And Shakur said her only mission for the day was to make sure that everybody got there. And she's really glad that the elders came for the bigger cause. And then Jamila and Sadiqa get up on stage and sort of welcome everybody and, you know, give welcome remarks. They announce how much money they want to raise. And Sid cries, sort of talking about how proud she is of her refugee sisters and mother and all that sort of stuff. And Rabia agrees that even though an apology wasn't said, that she felt like Sadiqa did it with her actions by what she had to say. She felt like that was an apology.
My biggest takeaway from Shakur's talk with Josh, and I almost fell off the couch, Shakur is waxing poetic about how she's happy to be out of the drama, that for once the drama isn't involving her. And she says, my sisters don't forgive and forget. Lies and allegations. They forgive and forget all the fucking time. 10 times an episode, they forgive and forget. It's what they're best at. The show should have just been called Forgive and Forget.
Yeah.
Because that's what they do. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. No, Khadijah says in our culture, you don't hold grudges. And I was like, yeah, we've noticed.
Yeah.
Also, Sadiqa's dress looks so awkward too, because we should say she's so thin and her waist is so tiny. And then her chest is so large. It is, they're giving her scoliosis. Like, they're pulling her back forward. And it's very obvious in what she's wearing. Or it's so tight, she's struggling to stand up straight. I couldn't tell.
I think it's probably so tight that she's struggling to stand up straight.
Yeah, but like her boobs are literally pulling her down in this dress.
Yeah.
And you can tell because she's standing in front of a crowd with a microphone. So it's like she's curling around the microphone as well. And I was like, oh my God, you gotta, it's hard to remember to do when you're dressed up, but you have to stand like you have a pull up your butt. It does make all the difference.
And who was our celebrity guest that showed up?
Will I Am.
Yeah. No references to why he was there, but he was.
Nope. And they introduce each other by birth number.
Yes.
This is Frank. He's number one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah, they're like, here comes 7 and 8.
Yeah. Okay.
Then they, after they give the speech? Yes, after they give the speech, then Shakur gets sneaky drinks for everyone.
Yeah.
It was really weird, you guys. She calls I feel like it was causing more attention to the situation than less,
but because she wanted the bartender to leave the bar and deliver her drinks.
So yes, but so the bartender is going to make some drinks, but then she realizes, oh, I don't want mom to see alcohol being put in the drinks. So she then very loudly calls the woman over who has two glasses in her hand with ice in it and says, like, hey, can you make those behind the bar, please?
Yeah,
like meaning undercover. And the woman's like, oh, I mean, she made such a spectacle that I doubt the mom was even paying attention. I'm sure if the bartender had just made her drinks and brought them over, the mom would not even notice. But if I was the mom, now I would have been on high alert.
Yeah. And also, she gives Noor and Hamida shit for drinking. And she's like, you better chew gum. You don't want to be talking to mom after having drinks. It's like, you're at an event. Your mother is watching you. Like, the jig is up.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, if they sneak drinks at family functions at someone's house, what is the difference if they're at a gala?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
And then we start the auction.
We sure do. And
at first it's going great.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've never been to a charity event with a live auction. I've only ever been to charity events with silent auctions.
Okay.
So I don't know if this happens, but I found it kind of mortifying is that they show the first couple of pieces being purchased. And then all of a sudden, people aren't, like, all of the art has been set at a minimum bid. And so all of a sudden there's a couple pieces that no one is interested in paying the minimum bid for. And this is where, like, one of them was a portrait of Chuck D. Another
we had Angela
one,
Davis.
Angela Davis. And this is where I said, I was like, it was a lot of African-American themed art.
Yeah.
And they're freaking out. And then Sadiqa, and again, starts yelling, like, let's go, let's go. And I was like, I don't think that's what you do at an auction.
No.
And not for nothing. Their goal was to raise $100,000. They raised $50,000 in table sales, I'm assuming, because they said they'd already raised $50,000 when they arrived.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that's over and above the cost of throwing the event.
I wondered.
But what I also wonder is, these are 10 women who purport to be very wealthy. Why couldn't they have all just not had a gala and chipped in $10,000 each? And there's your $100,000.
I don't know. And then, of course, like, we have to watch them have these awkward scenes of the pieces that don't get bids at all. And then they're trying to build tension of, well, will they hit this goal or not? And then the final piece up for auction goes for $89,000.
And it's also a giant 3D art installation. I don't even know where you would put it. It would have to go in, like, I don't even know.
Hotel lobby? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, something along those lines. A cruise ship. I don't know.
Yeah.
And that was, someone wanted to pay, it was set at 89,000 was the starting bid.
Yeah.
They found someone who had 60, but they were like, no, we're not going to take that. And here's again where I get very confused. I mean, if this is truly an auction and all the money's going to charity, then the artist isn't seeing a dime of it. I mean, if I was the artist, I'd be like, sure, 60, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, is it for tax write-off purposes?
I don't know.
The artist can say they made an $89,000 tax donation for a write-off. I mean, I'm guessing, but I don't know. It just seemed kind of weird to be setting these price parameters for something that was being auctioned off for charity.
Or maybe only 50% of the take was for charity. And they did say that it took the guy 12 years to finish the installation.
20 years.
Oh, I thought he said 12.
20.
Okay.
They said he'd been working on it for 20 years.
That doesn't seem like something you donate, but no, I don't know.
And
I,
no, they, because they added the 89,000 to their total, because the total they raised was $172,750.
Yeah.
So the whole 89 was totaled in.
They did it. Oh my God.
It was very confusing to me.
It was very confusing to me. And I will say, even though there were 10 minutes left after the scene, I think I have one note. Like, because after the auction, they hit their goal. They're super excited. They're all just like, all is forgotten. They love each other now. Family over everything. We hear that a million times. And then we see this quick scene with Sadiqa talking to Khadija. And Khadija actually tells Jamila as well, like, it's an honor. You did such a good job with this event, blah, blah, blah. And then she has a moment with Sadiqa. And Sadiqa goes, by the way, I'm sorry. She just like tosses it out there all willy-nilly. And then they're all dancing. And they have some little producer interviews in their confessionals about what they learned. And the answer is like nothing. They all learned nothing. Like they basically just say family over everything like 8 times.
And did you notice, and maybe it was just me, Hamida's lips were gigantic. I think she got them done again.
Yeah.
It was unsettling.
Yes, they have looked unsettling before several times.
I feel like this was more, and it was only in her confessional, but to me it was worse than I've ever seen them before.
They're not great. They're not great. And then of course the producers ask them like any final secrets you want to share, and they all pretend they have something salacious they're sitting on. Like they're setting us up for a season 2 that I really don't think is coming.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah. And that's
And well, no. And the number one, did you watch all the way to the end?
I thought so.
Well, is that Jamila says the secret I've been holding from the world is, and then it cuts off.
Yeah, I watched that.
So that's her big. It's like whatever. But now let's talk about these real women and all of this stuff. So I am remiss, and unfortunately, this whole time until 2 weeks ago, there is a Secrets and Sisterhood Reddit, and not much came of it.
Yeah.
But there is also a Shozada's Reddit that I just found 2 weeks ago. And boy, oh boy, does it have
everything. We were up at night.
Yeah. Well, and I actually spent a good hour and a half, almost 2 hours today, doing a little more research. So where would you like to start? Should we start with our father?
I think we can just start with the fact that Shozada's not even their name.
Nope. It surely is not.
Yeah. The irony of Nora spelling it out for the photographer in this episode, I was like, that's not your name.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Nope. And what is their name?
I don't remember.
Oh, so their name is Shinghar. S-H-E-N-G-H-U-R.
Yeah.
Their father's name was Saeed Alishah. A-L-I-S-H-A-H, Shinghar.
Yes.
He was born on February 5th, 1950. I even have his social security number, if anyone would like it.
Oh, God. Well, so this is a very litigious family also. We should put that out there.
Oh, well, we're going to talk about that too. I mean, someone posted this on Reddit. It's a screenshot. You can find it anywhere. I mean, I think it's because he's deceased. It doesn't matter. I also have his father's name and social security number, which is weird
Maybe you should just screen grab the subreddit instead of posting all these documents. Just be like, hey, if you want to read
these. I'm not going to post his social security number on our Instagram. And he died on April 3rd, 1999.
Yeah.
Now, even with all that information, I could still find nothing about a murder. Only that he's died. Like, the only information I looked like up all the LA, all the California newspapers, files. I looked everything. I did. Unfortunately, I thought that you could just go online and find someone's death certificate, because you can in a lot of states. In California, you have to request it and they actually mail it to you. I almost did that today and I still may, because it'll list his cause of death. And so we can see now. And very interesting, there's no way to prove this. One of the things I did find on Reddit is that someone said, and there's no proof of this, that he actually committed suicide and was not murdered. And the only thing I can think of that might jive with that, and again, this is speculation and spitballing and allegedly, and I know nothing, is that sometimes... So this is a little bit of a sidebar, but I've been into and watching Capote and the Swans, and one of the Capote's swans, Anne Woodward, committed suicide, but because she was, but because she was so mercilessly bullied by Truman Capote, her family says that she was murdered and he murdered her. So that's a possibility. It just seems odd to me that if someone was murdered and I have the exact date of his death and his full name, that I can't find a news article or anything about it anywhere.
Especially 1999.
Yeah.
Yeah. I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I read the Reddit, you know, a couple weeks ago after you found it. Didn't someone also speculate that at the time of his death, he wasn't even living with the family?
Oh, he probably wasn't, because one of the lawsuits is in 1997.
Yeah.
The mother took out a restraining order against him.
Yeah.
So no, I do not think that they were living together.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe that is where some of the feelings that the sisters have towards Shakur came from too, because the family was going through a lot. And that was when Shakur was taking space from the family, because she was kind of like younger and rebellious.
One of the other things that I discovered that I felt very justified on, in this Reddit thread, there were, or in this Reddit group, there were four different separate posts about the fact that they all kiss on the lips.
Yeah, I know.
I felt very justified about that. And all of these people weighed in and was like, I'm Afghani, we don't do that. I thought it was fucked up. This is their weird family. Like, this is not something that we need to do.
Yeah.
So let's start with Sadiqa.
Okay.
You want to start with Sadiqa?
Sure.
Okay. First of all, I thought it was very interesting. Sadiqa was born in Egypt. She was born in Cairo. She was not born in the U.S., which I thought was interesting. And they are listed as being Afghani and Egyptian.
Yes. Yep.
Not just Afghani.
Remember when I randomly said that? I said, like, when I looked up their dad, someone said he was Egyptian.
Yeah.
And the Reddit was all over that. The person that went to high school with them said, like, sometimes they would say they were Egyptian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Sadiqa was accused and seen by witnesses of stealing expensive items from her boyfriend.
Yep.
Who is Gerard Boeke, B-O-E-K-E. He is an actor. I will post a picture of him. I found his IMDb. He was only in four things. She was seen from stealing items worth over $31,000. She got caught lying in court. She actually said movers took the stuff accidentally, but then there were witnesses who saw her load the stuff into her car. Before
wasn't
she,
it the moving company? They're like, yeah, no, we saw her.
Before, let's
he's cute.
Before they went to court, her ex confirmed. Yeah, B-O-E-K-E. He's cute.
Yeah, okay.
Let's see, before they went to court, the ex confronted her about stealing and recorded the interaction. Then 10 days later, she posted a photo on social media with her wearing one of the stolen items.
Yep.
The suit was dropped because her ex had run out of money to sue her.
Yep. And didn't he move too? So he was probably trying to sue her.
He was in
her.
Florida and she was in LA and he couldn't afford to keep going back and forth.
Yep.
Then as far as drip doctors goes, Drip Doctors is not just Jamila's business. It was originally founded with the whole wolf pack. It was Jamila Siddiqua, Noor Hamida, and Shakur were all listed as the founders of this business. It looks like some of them have dropped off since then. And then Shakur, the interesting thing about Drip Doctors is, and then did we discuss this before? Here, let me pull up my files because I have all of this in multiple places. Where's my files app? Did you already discuss or bring up the fact that Jamila and her Drip Doctors got a soccer player banned? Did we talk about that before?
We did not talk about that, but we sure can.
Okay, well, let's start in on her and talk about that.
So, I mean, you're going to have to detail all of this because I read it 2 weeks ago, but like, I don't remember names and I didn't take notes on it. So this is the Frank show now.
Oh, okay, great. I have everything. let's see. Open with.
So I know that there was like a thing. There's a famous soccer player that I'm sure I should have asked my husband about this. Maybe I will. And she was hired to give him like a vitamin. He went to see the Drip Doctors when he was in California and got like a vitamin drip for like energy. Like he'd been feeling fatigued from team travel and whatever. And then he failed a doping test.
Yeah. Okay. So his name is Samir Nazari.
Yeah.
And he failed a doping test. He asked his girlfriend allegedly like set him up with Jamila to come over. And in the UK, I guess she was living there at the time, and to give him, you know, an IV bag. And it was supposed to be just vitamins and water, but it still went over the legal sanctioning for doping. And he was suspended for 18 months. And then he came back and he wasn't in his same self. And then he got cut from the team and it ruined his whole career. Yeah. But what's interesting is he then claimed that Jamila fucked him.
Yeah.
So he said, and I have the tweets here. I have the whole, let's see, pull the Twitter. I'm so annoyed because I downloaded all this stuff to my files. And it said, so these are his tweets that got deleted. Sorry, guys. I just had to let the world know that my girlfriend, Anara, who was with me at the time, had booked this girl to give me an IV drip. Please tell the world, as well as other concierge treatment, your girl gave straight after the IV drip. You also provided me a full sexual service too right after. So guys, make sure you get this service. This whore comes and fucks the same night. A full service in my hotel room. So doubling up her services, just giving you a heads up on this service from @DripDoctors. Like he tagged them in this. On arrival, Anara had left the room and this girl had asked for my number and then to go out with me that night. She then continued to give me ellipsis. Sorry, guys, I just had to let the world know that my girlfriend, Anara, who was with me at the time, had booked this girl to give me an IV drip.
Yeah.
Crazy, crazy. So I don't know what...
I also wonder if he's just blaming Drip Doctors for the fact that he was doping on the side.
I don't think so, because the article makes it really, really seem like...
I wonder, does it say what he failed on?
Probably it not. Says that they're like just they were vitamins, but like at such a high level that
it counted as doping.
Yeah. I mean, I think that like it probably was a mistake on Drip Doctor's part that they didn't allot for that. And then the other thing, and this is also Shamila, glamorous medic who gave Samir Nazari an IV drip in his hotel room denies they had sex and says his jealous girlfriend attacked her in a club.
Yep, that's a good one.
Yeah.
You can also see pictures of Jamila's ex-husband.
Yes. A glamorous doctor at the center of a bizarre feud with footballer Samir Nazar's girlfriend has denied they had sex and claims his jealous girlfriend attacked her in a club. This is when Jamila was 30. One of the co-founders of Drip Doctors triggered rumors after she posed with the Manchester City and former Arsenal star. Soon after his arrival in LA. So this was in LA.
Yeah.
Okay, it was in LA.
Yeah.
The French playmaker has denied he was caught offsides with Shahzada, one of 10 sexy sisters, and said she only gave him an IV drip. Shahzada, who is Egyptian, says he was Egyptian-American, told the Sun there was nothing sexual or flirty. She's blamed the scandal on his girlfriend, who said she was jealous and claimed the model grabbed her by the neck at an LA club in the early hours of Tuesday morning.
Yeah. Also, can we talk about the fact check on that article? So it's like, is there anything you want to tell us about yourself, Jamila? Yes, I'm one of 10 sexy sisters. You can quote me on that.
And we're Egyptian.
Yeah. Don't forget that detail.
Oh, why is this taking me to Amazon? I don't want to go to Amazon. I want to go back to Reddit. Okay, so let's go get rid of that. Okay, so then we have, and I thought this was very interesting, a ton of interesting dirt about Halima.
Oh, yes. And we cannot, I'm remembering the Shakur of it all, too.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I have a lot of Shakur stuff as well. So Halima, who we didn't get to see much of, and based on the other Reddit, it's because she was living in the UK, and that's why she's only in like one episode for a second. But right. Halima Shingor Shahzada was engaged to police detective Al Lobo. While engaged, he got pneumonia, which led to an infection that robbed him of both legs below the knees, his arm at the left bicep, and all the fingers of his right hand.
Yep.
She took care of him with the help of aides. I wasn't sure what happened there, but after posting this, another person on Reddit showed me a video where Halima posted on social media, which shows her with a different cop boyfriend. I looked up if her fiance died or something, but I found no obituary or death record, so I assumed she just bailed on him.
Yeah.
And now this is where things get very interesting. Halima was once wedded to a man whose name is Mustafa Zafari. In the latest development, court documents from Riverside County Superior Courts reveal that the divorce was filed on May 8, 2006. And in 2008, the divorce was finally made official. Interestingly, the super litigious family seems to have been hitting the courts many, many times as both Shahzada and Shankor. From plaintiff to defendant, restraining orders to evictions, these females are in court for a plethora of reasons with multiple new unrelated cases currently pending. Mm-hmm. This is not limited to, but in particular, Shakur, Jamila, and Sadiqa. Their lawyer, Kais Zafari, Hamida's former brother-in-law, and Khadija's husband. So yeah. Hamida and Khadija were married to brothers, and Khadija's marriage stuck, but Halima's did not.
Oh, Halima, not Hamida. Halima.
Halima. Yeah, I'm sorry. Halima.
Fascinating.
Another weird little tidbit about the name changes.
They all changed their names at once. Yeah.
Starting July 23rd, 2009, Muzlifa changed her name. Then on July 23rd, 2010, Shakur, actually, her original name was Shakoria, S-H-I-K-O-R-Y-A, Shankor, changed her name to Shakur Shahzada. And the notification ran in the local paper. Later on January 14th, 2013, and this is Khadija Shakur, changed her name to, I'm assuming that means Sadiqa is who she's talking about. I don't know who, this is C-A-G-I-K-A. I don't know who she's talking about. So did Noria. So that was on 2013.
Hamida changed her name too.
As if any of these name changes weren't already confusing. Oh, and this is Hamida. Hamida's name was Jumida, J-U-M-M-E-D-E-H-A, Bibi Shankor, changed her name to Humida Bibi Shankor. And then at some point to Hamida Bibi Shahzada.
Yeah.
And then I have a copy of the restraining order from 1997 from the father.
Mm-hmm.
And then, okay, where are the Festival of Lawsuits? There are pages and pages of them. Let's see, where did I put them?
Well, who do we really have left? Shakur.
Shakur, yeah.
Do it. Drop it.
So Shakur, let's see. Where is my Shakur stuff? The problem is that I saved all of these to a file on my phone, all the articles, and then like now it's not working. It's not linking to them. Here we go. Shakur. Okay, we've got so many lawsuits. Jeffrey Wax, trustee of the Wax Family Trust versus Shakur Shahzada. The People versus Shahzada. Shahzada Hamida versus Elisan Alik. Shahzada Hamida versus Elisan Alik. Shakur Shahzada versus Joshua Landon Smith et al.
Yep.
Let's see, how many are there altogether? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Oh, I've exhausted my... I ran out after page one of 10 lawsuits, but there are two pages of lawsuits.
Yep.
Then, with Shakur, we have... Where is all the good stuff about the rapper? Let's see.
Well, it involves Chris Brown, right?
Yes, it involves Chris Brown.
And a diss track.
Yes. Oh, shoot. I'm so annoyed, you guys, that I saved all of this. So, basically... let's find Shakur. Shakur gets into a fight with Chris Brown. She used to be best friends with Chris Brown's baby mama.
Yeah.
When Chris Brown and the baby mama break up, she gets in a fight with her. She releases a diss track that threatens to kill her and the child. She testifies for Chris Brown in the lawsuit against this woman. And we all know Chris Brown is a terrible domestic violence abuser. It just is not a good look for her at all.
No.
Like, mm-mm. At all.
Mm-mm. And didn't she sort of have a relationship with the woman's child or something like that? Or she wanted a relationship with the woman's child?
She was, well, no, she, I mean, she was the child's godmother.
Right. Okay.
She was the child's godmother.
Man.
Oh, and I also discovered that Josh apparently comes from a very wealthy family.
Mm-hmm.
And, he flips houses, and that's, I guess, kind of how he got his money.
Mm-hmm.
Where is, oh, this is annoying me. I'm so pissed that I put like all of this in my files app, and then it's none of the things are showing up because I had all of it linked. I spent an hour and a half today.
Well, you've still disclosed a lot of information.
Oh, Nina Guzman.
Yes. Okay.
Let's see. Will that let me invalid just open?
Well, should we close out by discussing their high school friend?
Yes, let's close out by, well, actually, the other thing is that, well, before we do the high school friend, I think that we should also say on this same Shozada thread, there is a clip of Shakur rapping for Drake.
I didn't watch that.
I will tell you what, like, she doesn't do a terrible job, and it's because—
I believe that.
Because in doing my deep dive, she also was a video vixen and posed naked-ish for Vibe and Source magazine. And the person who posted it says they think it was from his Best I Ever Had video, that she was probably like a background girl, and this was like on a break where they're all hanging out, and she like raps for him, and he is impressed with her.
All right. Get it, Shakur. And we see high school pictures of Noor and Hamida, right?
Yes, we see high school pictures of Noor and Hamida with one of the guys they went to high school with. And one of the interesting things that I learned from the from that was that both Noor and Hamida skipped a grade. Because people were talking about their ages and like how their ages didn't match up. And this guy said that they skipped a grade.
Oh. And I mean, it's not surprising that they have completely new faces, but they have pretty tops to tails new faces on these ladies.
Well, I think that you can kind of tell that just from looking at the elders.
Yes. Yeah, you can. Amita surprised me, or maybe it was Noor's. They're both pretty surprising, but one surprised me more than the other. It was more than I would have suspected, I guess.
Yes, I have some shots of that too. Oh, here, I found in one of the articles about Shakur. Shakur is also a former friend and babysitter to Nina Guzman, Chris Brown's, oh, I guess she was her babysitter, weird. Chris Brown's baby mama.
Yeah.
The two got involved in a feud in 2017 after Nia accused Shahzada of blackmailing her. Nia even filed a restraining order against her. In response, Shakur called Nia a bad mother and said she was willing to testify on Chris Brown's behalf. And this isn't listed, but she also made a diss track, like, talking horrible, I mean, literally saying that she was going to kill this woman and her child.
Yeah, there we go. Man. I mean, long story short, if you've been curious or watching along, go search for these ladies on Reddit.
Yeah, you can find out a lot of stuff about them on Reddit.
And it is very different how we've seen them portraying themselves.
Oh, I know what other thing I discovered, because I did take some notes as well, too. So the other thing I discovered that I wanted to discuss that doesn't match up with the show is, didn't they say on the show in the beginning that Rabia was in the process of, or had just gotten divorced and had moved back to LA from California?
Vancouver,
right?
Yeah.
Lies and allegations. So Rabia was separated in 2015 and divorce was finalized by Riverside County Superior Court on December 12th, 2017.
Interesting.
So unless she got married again, which I feel like this article would have, if it was an article from 2023, and this was her second divorce, then she's been, at the time of filming, she had been, because I'm assuming we think they filmed what, in 2022?
Yeah, probably.
So she'd been divorced for 5 years, like fully divorced.
I mean, maybe she had been in a relationship in Vancouver and they just said married on the show to legitimize it or something, but.
It's possible. But yeah, but she was divorced in Riverside County in California, so.
We should just rename the show Litigious Ladies.
We really should. Like, the lawsuits are crazy and there's so many of them. They love to sue people.
It's also so funny to me that Kais is the lawyer for all of them because he's literally just making money off of his family.
His own family. Yeah, he's everyone's lawyer. All of these lawsuits, he is their lawyer.
Yeah.
And I just think it's crazy that Halima and Khadija were married to brothers and, like, they've never mentioned that. I mean, not like Halima was ever in the show at all, but.
I think she made an appearance at the, like, in first Eve. Or second episode. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And but that was it. I love that she has a thing for cops.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. All cops all the time. That's what she likes to date.
What a journey.
There was also some weird speculation about the father's death because Halima posted a picture of their dad on her Instagram in like a military looking uniform. And there was some very conspiracy theories that he had been murdered because of like military ties or something. But again, that would have made the news. So,
yeah. Well, if it's Reddit, you know.
Yeah.
For every helpful tip, there is a bananas conspiracy theory.
So that's what we found out. If you guys want to do your own exciting deep dive, it's just the subreddit is just called the Shazadas. That's it.
Yeah.
And there was it was not hard to find. There was a lot of good juicy stuff in there. I'm again very sorry that I wasn't better prepared. I saved all of these links to my files and now it just says I can't open them. So, which is annoying.
I mean, just imagine if we had done that, you know, 10 episodes ago, how different this could have been.
Yeah.
So, whatever. We will never not do profiles again, I don't
think. Yeah, sad, because we 10 episodes, 10 sisters. We could have done one per episode.
I know. We just decided to, like, give ourselves a break with this show because we're like, it's recent. We don't need to know where they are now, but we are wrong. We won't make that mistake again.
No. Well, lots of fun things to say about Princesses Long Island.
God, I hope so.
Yes. All right, you guys. Well, we'll be back in 2 weeks with our new show with Princesses Long Island. Do not forget to check the Instagram because on the Monday after this episode drops, I will be putting all of this information, screenshots of things that I found and everything on Instagram so you can see for yourself. And if I'm smart enough to do it, which I'm probably not, I will see if I can put a link to the Reddit group in the post so people can find it for themselves.
Perfect.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to another episode of One Hit Wonderful.
You can find us online on Twitter and Instagram at One Hit Pod. You can email us at franklymareb@gmail.com. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Nana's Mink.
And you can find me on Twitter at Hey It's Mare B.
Please remember to rate and subscribe. And have a great week, guys. We'll talk to you soon.